Criminal justice reform groups and several Democratic lawmakers hosted Reframing Justice Day at the state capitol yesterday. KJZZ's Jimmy Jenkins was there. He's here now. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, Mark.
So what was the discussion at the state house about?
Well, despite Republicans still controlling the chamber, House Representatives Kirsten Engel, Diego Rodriguez, and Domingo de Grazia proposed a slate of ambitious criminal justice reform legislation this session. Things like automatically expunging convictions for marijuana possession, taking prison health care public again, removing certain offenses from someone's record. This is Representative Engel talking about how she became interested in voting rights restoration.
I became aware of that, frankly, by talking to voters in my districts, knocking on the doors, asking voters to sign my petition and being told, I'm sorry, I can't. I've got a felony on my record.
And so Representative Engel has a bill that would automatically restore voting rights for people convicted of a single felony.
Now, Jimmy, the same event happened last year. Similar legislation was announced. But then, like you said, Republicans still control things. And last year, we had people in leadership roles at the House prevent those bills from moving forward. Did you get a sense that there will be a chance at bipartisan cooperation on criminal justice reform this year?
Yeah, there's actually a discussion going on right now at the State House about mandatory minimums, too. So clearly, not everyone's still on the same page here. I asked Representative Engel if there were any of her bills she was optimistic about finding a Republican lawmaker to work with on, and she kind of went, she did seem to think that with the issues the Department of Corrections is having recently, overcrowding in the women's prison, infrastructure problems pretty much everywhere, continued health care litigation, that this was hopefully giving these issues more importance in the eyes of her colleagues. This event was organized by the American Friends Service Committee. They were very optimistic last year. They had big goals. I asked AFSC's Joe Watson how they were feeling this year. He said they've learned to be more patient, Mark, and forge relationships that he thinks are paying off.
There are folks on both sides of the issue that support real reform, whether it's earned release credit reform, whether it's clean slate legislation. I mean, both of those things right there are Republican-sponsored bills that are going to be dropping this week or have already been dropped. This is a bipartisan issue, and we believe there's going to be more cooperation.
Now, Jimmy, you also had the chance to speak with Matthew Charles yesterday. Tell us his story, who he is, and what he was advocating for.
Matthew Charles is one of the first people released from prison due to the First Step Act. He was given a 35-year sentence for selling crack cocaine, and he was released in 2016, but then sent back to prison after a year and a half after officials said he was mistakenly released. The First Step Act includes a provision to apply the Fair Sentencing Act retroactively, which reduced the disparities between sentences for crack and powder cocaine and led to Matthew's ultimate release. He's now advocating for criminal justice reform.
I've been able to witness what rehabilitative programs can do, how it changes the behavior of those that are incarcerated, as well as make the prison overall safe, as well as for those that are being released afterwards, they're able to get out with the benefit of some educational, vocational skill and go into the job development program.
Stakeholders are having a lot of conversations about who to release, but here in Arizona, violent offenders have so far not been a part of that conversation. You considered yourself or once referred to yourself as dangerous at one point in your life. Can you make the case for why even violent offenders deserve a chance at a reduced sentence?
Okay, Jim, that one easy. People change. But the long version of that is the fact that oftentimes whenever a person commits the offense, you have to look at the person's age. What was the offense that they, what was their maturity level? What was their familial background, whether they had, you know, a single parent or was in the, like the foster programs. You have to also see, did they have any mental issues? And then you have to see what have they done throughout the period of their incarceration. And then you have to be able to make an evaluation whether this person who was violent can be given a second chance. I'm a firm believer that everybody deserves a second chance. Some people's second chance may come a little bit longer than others, but I still believe they deserve a second chance. I know that I'm no longer that same person. And I know that if I can change, anybody can change. So my argument is that once we start eliminating the people who commit the violent offenses from the nonviolent offenses, we're walking on a slippery slope because we're saying that these people are throwaways and no longer are able to be invested in.
And Mark, Matthew spent 22 years in federal prison. He has an incredible story and perspective, and we'll post the full interview with him online at kjzz.org.
All right. That is KJZZ's Jimmy Jenkins. Jimmy, as always, thank you.
You're welcome.